Welcome to the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast, part of the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast network, where we put the power of dynamic fitness back in your hands one mental rep at a time. Effective thinking for potent fitness. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast, a part of the Think Fit, Be Fit network. I'm Jennifer Schwartz. I'm sitting here with my co-chair, Razzle Dazzle, Angela Dameline, and Dr. Matt Dawson of Wild Health. Welcome, Angela, and welcome, Matt.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Jen. Razzle.
Razzle Dazzle. That's our pickleball team name.
Oh, well, I am obsessed with pickleball. So hopefully the entire podcast is about pickleball. But if you want to talk about health, too, that's fine.
I mean, you might be in luck.
Yes, we're gearing up for spring over here in Virginia. So we're ready. Oh, man. But season 6 is not about pickleball, unfortunately. We probably will launch something about pickleball. But season 6 of Think Fit, Be Fit is all about health and fitness technology and leaning into the future of fitness and health. Also paying respect to the intelligence and our own technology inside the body, which we're kind of obsessed with here. We're sitting here in Alexandria, Virginia at the studio at Impact Your Fitness. And Matt, where are you?
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, not too far from you guys.
Not too far, yeah. I remember busing it there for soccer many years ago. I think it's great if we could just start with your introduction and one of your hot pickleball tips.
Yeah, so my name is Matt Dawson. I'm a physician. I'm the founder and CEO of Wild Health. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that and kind of my transition from traditional medicine, which I realized didn't work, to more kind of functional and precision medicine. But I'm really excited to talk about pickleball since you actually asked. So yesterday morning I played a new version that we play, which we call speed pickle. It's incredibly fun in that basically there's no pauses between the points. Like when you score a point, you just keep going whether the person's ready or not. And it, like, my heart rate is in the 140s to 150s. It'll spike into the 160s. It's crazy and it's intense. And like an hour of that yesterday, and I am sore today. It's definitely a different type of pickleball.
Okay. Noted. I mean,
sounds fun.
Yeah. Sounds like sizzle and rizzle. What is it?
Razzle dazzle.
But we got to get
turbo pickle.
Turbo pickle.
Turbo pickle. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can tell we love having fun. And there's just so much that's fun about connecting and podcasting. But really, for us, it's about changing people's perspective on how they view their fitness, their body, and their health. I am really excited to get into this episode. And this whole podcast was really inspired by how to think clearly and take in good information and make decisions for ourselves. So as co-founder of Wild Health, what is your vision for the future of medicine?
Sure. So I really like something you said at the beginning about technology, and you're focusing on technology that can be used to optimize your health, but also the technology of your own body and what you have. I mean, we believe really everything that you need for healing and optimization is within you. And we provide some tools and things to optimize that. But when I was in traditional medicine, one of the things that I noted, which I thought was interesting, is I felt like medicine was both behind, probably 15 years behind where the evidence was. It also was too far ahead. What I mean by that is that technology of our own bodies and the whole let food be thy medicine from Hippocrates and like the things that we've known forever, we ignored those things. So we had left behind ancient wisdoms and we weren't caught up with where the technology was. It's this kind of weird no man's land. And at Wild Health, our focus is, the wild really kind of means two things. One, it is about the wild things we're doing, like the cutting edge, we sequence everyone's DNA, pull in millions of data points from their wearables and microbiome and all of that, and use this cutting edge technology. But it's also an allusion to wilderness and nature and getting back to some of those things and that disconnection, which feeds a lot of our suffering and our disease and the bad health outcomes we have. So the wild kind of means those two different things.
What a beautiful way of bringing it together, what's currently available in terms of technology, and honoring, like what you're saying, what's already there, and not just getting advanced for advanced sake, but rather really with a specific purpose in mind. So thank you for putting that all together in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, and I think our vision when we see a patient is to use everything at our disposal. So the way it works, I'll just tell you real quick and then happy to kind of jump back into how we landed on this, is every patient we see, we sequence their DNA. That's your human operating system. It drives me crazy to think that you see a doctor and they don't know your DNA. We can do that now. Your DNA is not your destiny, though. That's only about 20% of your health outcome. The other 80% is epigenetics and everything that you eat, what you're exposed to, your stress levels, how you sleep. Those things determine how you turn those genes off and on, the risk factors that you have, the advantages or disadvantages you have. So we also do a really deep dive into your blood work. We also do something that is rare in medicine today, this ancient technique we found, which is called talking to people, and actually find out what you do every day, what you eat, who you eat with, what your spiritual beliefs are, where you are emotionally. And then we pull in other data that we want to measure as well from all of your wearables. And then we take all of that and run it through an AI-driven platform that we've developed over the last 5 years. We've invested heavily. We have dozens of engineers who've been working on that for 5 years. And that really kind of gives us the precision recommendations about what is the perfect diet for you, perfect exercise plan, how are we going to optimize your sleep. And from there, a physician and a health coach help you move towards that optimization in an iterative process. And we'll continue to check that blood work and those other biomarkers as we go and make sure we're accomplishing the goals that you want to accomplish. That's our approach to the optimization.
That's so interesting. I'm so curious, when this 5-year development, how did you know it was ready? Like, what was your metric of like, now's the time, we've got it?
Yeah, so how this all started, about 5 years ago, Mike Mallon, my co-founder, we started seeing all this evidence come out about personalized medicine, genomics. And we realized that looking at the evidence, we thought, actually, it seems like we can actually do this for the first time. We'd been talking about in medicine, personalized medicine forever, but no one was doing it. So we started basically experimenting with ourselves. We sequenced our own DNA. At that time, Mike went through kind of a difficult health issue where he saw his physician, and even though we thought we were super healthy, we were doing ultra marathons and things like that, he found his cholesterol was just through the roof. It wasn't like a little elevated where not that big a deal. It was a really dangerous levels. His doctor put him on a diet, and he got worse. It was a diet that works for most people, but he's not most people. His doctor wanted to put him on a statin, and we were a little worried about that because of the side effects, but it was so high. He wanted the statin. He had muscle breakdown, myopathy, didn't tolerate it at all. And as we're going through this, we looked and we saw in his genetics that looking at his SNPs, he had all of these SNPs that really added up to him needing basically the opposite diet this doctor recommended. We also saw he had a specific SNP that meant that he's almost guaranteed to get that muscle breakdown and myopathy. And we were kind of angry, like, why did his doctor not know this? And then we realized, okay, the evidence is here, but no one is doing this. No doctors are doing this. And we really went all in at that point. We saw my grandmother was one of our first patients. She had Alzheimer's and dementia, which if you've had family members with that, you know how horrible it is. She was kind of moderate. Her MoCA score was 16. And normally with dementia, you just want to slow the progression. So you want the score to go from 16, 15, 14, but not 16, 10, 5. Well, after 3 months of putting her on this very personalized program, the diet, the lifestyle, everything, her MoCA score went from 16 to a 20. It improved by 25%, which you just don't see in medicine. I saw my mom right after that because I was worried she would have the same genetics as my grandmother. And sure enough, she had an APOE4 gene that made her really likely to get dementia. She had insulin resistance. She was obese. She was kind of a metabolic mess. We put her on the program. She lost 40 pounds, reversed her insulin resistance, told me she felt 20 years younger. put Mike's mom on the program. She lost 80 pounds, got off all of her medications. And we just said, we're leaving our universities and we're doing this for everyone. And that's kind of how we started. And since then, we've seen thousands of patients, and those outcomes we had with them were not one-offs. Like, we're getting similar results when it comes to metabolic health, cardiovascular health, and optimizing for all the things that we want to avoid later in life.
I got chills.
I'm thrilled. My heartbeat went faster. Yay, grandma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also want to say I'm low-key jealous that you got your family on board, because that's one of our missions here. You know, we hear it all the time for our client population. So we deal with a lot of musculoskeletal injuries and arthritis and, you know, people just slowing down and trying to get to recovered maybe better than ever after physical therapy or surgery, right? People are so motivated by what they're watching in the older generation. They're like, I'm not doing that. That is not for me. And it breaks my heart. And so, well, let's like, you know, I'm that's amazing. You got your family and just the results. It's just, it's so exciting.
Yes, totally. And can you just for a second break down what a SNP is for our listeners who may not be aware, and why that's so important with respect to diet and this specialized plan that worked so fantastically again and again and again and again for your people?
For sure. So a SNP is a single nucleotide polymorphism. So it's not a genetic mutation. It's just a slight variance in your genes. It happens from person to person. They give you certain advantages or disadvantages. So just to give you an example, I'll use my mother as an example to see, show you how we translate that to tell her what to do. So she had, so the APOE4 gene that put her at high risk for dementia. Okay, so that's bad. So how are we going to optimize her? So she had a VDR SNP. That means she probably needs more vitamin D. But what is her vitamin D level? So we need to get the blood test for that. Also, is she in Florida in the summer or Alaska in the winter? So those types of things determine, are we going to tell her to take a vitamin D supplement, or are we just going to tell her just eat more shiitake mushrooms, for example, that has a lot of vitamin D, or just get out in the sun? Also, she had a collagen 5A1 polymorphism. That means she needs more collagen protein. She also had a BCMO, meaning she needs more vitamin A, and a FADS2, meaning that she doesn't process the plant-based form of omega-3. She needs actual omega-3 from an animal source. So when you put all of that together, what the algorithm tells us with all of those SNPs is the perfect food for her is a sardine. So it's got the clean omega-3s, the collagen protein, the vitamin A and the D and the organs that are still there, and that's a perfect food for her. Whereas, contrast that, she had an SH2B3 polymorphism and an MCM6. So those two tell us that she's going to have an inflammatory reaction to wheat and gluten and then dairy products. So those would be kind of her kryptonite foods. So it's the combination of the SNPs taken together as a whole, the blood work, the lifestyle things, and that leads us to these very specific recommendations about what to eat, what not to eat. And I could give you plenty of other examples around supplements and sleep and everything else that we use to optimize folks.
Thank you for that beautiful answer. And what I hear you're providing for people is potentially a relief from just bombarding themselves with judgment for, oh, I should be eating this leafy kale. Well, maybe not. Maybe you need a sardine, right? And so what does that feel like to see the relief on someone's face when they actually have these answers from all of these tests combined? What does that feel like to you?
It's so empowering. So our job as clinicians is to educate people. And so I would use my mother again as an example. She didn't want to be unhealthy and obese and have insulin resistance. She was trying. She needed to be educated on not what works, but what works for her genes. And so when we gave her that information, she had been trying my whole life as long as I knew her, but then actually having the knowledge of what works for her is super empowering. Now she's got the plan for her, and she did it, and it worked. And I think when we first went into this, when in traditional medicine, I hate to admit this, but I was very down on kind of the American population, thinking, okay, people are just lazy. That's why we have the rates of obesity and health outcomes. I completely changed my mind when I realized they're not. They just have bad information. Like, when you give people the right information, people want to be well. They have it within themselves. they're just confused. And we're trying to kind of cut through that confusion, give them the tools they need. And my vision and go is for eventually everyone to graduate and not need us anymore. We just want to teach them and give them the tools, and then they take care of themselves. But there's a lot of misinformation out there, and there's a fair amount of education that usually needs to take place with everybody.
I think, yeah, for all of our sakes, it's just, I think it's beautiful that I really believe there's a lot of curious minds that are hungry for self-knowledge, self-improvement. And, you know, as a result, they're on that level of having a healthy approach and continuously growing. So I really believe that is in us. And I too have been, you know, in that mindset of, well, these healthcare costs are high because ABC, you know, people aren't motivated. But I've also felt, you know, diet and exercise have been part of the recommendations for a long time. And people are getting hurt in sports and exercise at alarming rates. So, you know, again, like it is that misinformation, and it is, and it's not so much it's misguided information and being like misguided to like lean into like these like experts, right? To like count your reps and do all this. But when what it's really about is, again, like gaining that self-knowledge so that you can be your own guide, guru, trainer. And of course, all these amazing educated experts, I hate that word, guides and teachers are here along the way helping you ask more questions of your curiosity and on your journey. So that's just a long-winded, I got hope too.
Well, I love when you talk about diet, and actually you said we've forever known we need to better diet and better exercise. But what does that mean? People hear that. And just to give you a couple more examples along those, when Mike and I, my co-founder, when we first looked at our DNA, I mentioned kind of what his showed. Mine was the opposite. We looked at our DNA. We were like, wow, it looks like we should be on opposite diets. And so we did some fun experiments where for 2 weeks, we would eat everything that looks like this is perfect for Mike. And we did the same workouts, the blood tests before and after. And when we ate his diet, I felt like crap. He killed me in the workouts. My numbers were bad. We switched to my diet. I killed him in the workouts. He became super inflamed, felt horrible. And it was this aha moment around diets where When I used to hate talking about diets and nutrition as a physician, because it was almost like religious wars. And it made sense when I saw what happened with us. People try different things, they find what works for them, and then they're evangelists and think that's the right diet for everyone. And it's not the case. We're all different. And with exercise, one of the things I noticed on my DNA, I was doing Ironman races at the time, and I was constantly inflamed. I couldn't put my socks on without sitting down in the morning. And I found I was getting all these tendon and ligament injuries. And I found that I really, at a collagen 5A1 polymorphism, I needed a lot more collagen protein. And when I started eating a lot more bone broth, some collagen supplements, the sardines, those injuries completely went away. I also saw I had an ACTN and a couple other SNPs that meant I needed more recovery time. So I restructured my training programs to give myself more recovery time and started just performing so much better. So the diet and exercise, it's not enough to tell people that you really do have to get specific for the individual to get the best outcomes.
That's a great example. I love the idea of you guys experimenting on each other and having fun with it and being like, oh, I can't move today. And it's, you know, but in a suffer fest in a playful and useful way. So that's instead of the Iron Man suffer fest version where you're constantly inflamed. So that's great.
I don't do that anymore. I'm too old for that now.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're intact and not, you know. So, gosh, I want to get into some like of our client and listener specific questions. Not that they chimed in on this, but we know our audience, and I think where I really want to start is we do a holistic injury care here, right? And a lot, and that tricks a lot of people into thinking that all of their problems are mechanical. And you just mentioned a really good example where that was not the case. It didn't have anything to do with your bike fit and your quads and your hamstrings. And maybe it did a little bit, but not the full picture, right, of your injury, you know, cycle and history. So I'd love to know, you know, how do you support and help people that are dealing with joint pain, arthritis, and, you know, can we help people see the picture that it's not just all mechanical when it comes to these things?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I love that you all take a holistic approach. That's one of the mistakes in medicine is we think people are a collection of organ systems or a collection of joints and bones, and they're not. Like, it's a whole system. And it's not just mechanical. Imaging is an interesting one, too. I see people coming in getting imaging all the time for their pains, and they'll show me a back MRI that looks all jacked up. And I'm like, so what? That doesn't correlate with your pain. I was talking to an orthopedist from the University of Utah who they looked at their football players. I don't think they published on this. He was just kind of telling me anecdotally at their hips. And 80% of them without symptoms had a labral tear in their hip. And with no symptoms, it didn't matter. Like, imaging, it's another piece of the puzzle, can give you information, but it isn't always the answer. It's the whole person. So when you talk about joint pain and arthritis, for example, well, just those words don't tell me anything, because there's obviously osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, there's gout, psoriatic arthritis. It can be infectious causes. So getting to the root cause of what's going on. And sometimes it's mechanical. Sometimes it's inflammatory. Like, so many times when we just stop some of those kryptonite foods for people, like if they have inflammatory reactions to wheat and gluten or dairy, their joints feel better. They no longer have that pain, and it certainly wasn't structural in those cases. So taking that holistic approach, thinking about it in a systems way and not just mechanical, is just absolutely necessary to get to the answer more quickly and find that root cause and fix it.
I already feel lighter because she watches me try to save these people from their own thinking sometimes. It's like, can you just open up a little bit more? So I'm really excited about, like, sending this episode and, you know, links to how to get involved with Wild Health. I'm just so, you know, you see me.
What I see you provide is a beautiful bridge for people who are really entrenched in this one paradigm to, like, really walk successfully over to, let's stay thriving and healthy in an empowered way. And that's something, like what you're saying, it really has to do with a shift in thinking. And what I see with your program that you've set up every step of the way is that you sort of satisfy where they're coming from with the labs and the science, but also really integrate some of the more holistic pictures. Because, like what Jen is saying, it can be so difficult to watch people think their way out of the right direction. And I see her exhaust herself. She's, you know, we're doing our best to educate, but that's a beautiful bridge that you're providing for people. And in a way that lets them be in charge, which I think is the biggest shift, is like, well, like what you were saying, oh, I'm going to eat this way because my doctor said, and then I feel worse, but they're the doctor, so I must be wrong. Or people shut off the signal and they no longer listen to themselves. So you're also turning back on the relationship so we can, like, get back in touch with that intelligence we were talking about in the beginning, that wild knowing that we have that has been overridden from a complete, like, just giving up or forfeit of our empowerment and our decisions. So thank you for providing that bridge. What do you find, if anything, to be the most helpful in walking people out of the doctor's office? Because you live there. And maybe talk to us a little bit about when it dawned on you, like, this is a better way. Even before you started getting results, powerful results with people, what let you know, like, there's got to be a better way?
Yeah. And that, so I love the word bridge you used, so I'm going to come back to that. But to answer your specific question, for me, I was working in the emergency department, and I loved it. It was a lot of fun, just like speed pickle. It's kind of fun and intense. It was the type of medicine for me at the time. However, I would see the same people come back. And I mean, I may put a breathing tube in someone who's crashing for some reason and save their life, and it feels great. And then you see them back a month later. And I realized we weren't really helping people, and we were seeing the same things coming in over and over. And there's a parable that it reminded me of a little village by a river, and someone's floating down the river screaming for help. They all run out. They pull them out, and they save this person. The next day, the same thing happens. Another person, they save them. The next day, something else. And finally, they realize, like, instead of just pulling these people out, maybe we should walk upstream and figure out who's throwing them in. And that was, like, for me, I'm seeing all of this carnage from our lifestyles. Maybe we should go a little upstream and actually see if we can prevent some of this. And I love the term a bridge, like you used, because that's what we want to provide. What I see medicine doing is providing Band-Aids, not bridges. So to use the joint pain analogy, or the joint pain example that you gave, throw someone on anti-inflammatories or some medication. That's not solving the problem. That's masking it, and that's a Band-Aid. I'm thinking about a specific patient who came in not that long ago who was an NBA player, a great player, a max contract player, and he came in for depression and anxiety. So the regular medical system, you put him on an SSRI or some sort of medication. That's obviously not what we did. So we talked to him, did all the testing, the genetic, and what we found is it had to do with his genetics and lifestyle. So he was doing the exact same thing as all of his teammates, which would be a ton of Red Bulls, caffeine, these things before a game. And we know that, we've known for decades that caffeine is an ergogenic aid. It makes you perform better. Except that when you look at those studies, it helps 80% of people perform better. That happens to be the amount of people who are fast metabolizers. So when you break people out by their genetics, fast metabolizers have an improvement in performance. Slow metabolizers, it hurts their performance. They perform worse. He was a slow metabolizer. He also had an ADORA 2A SNP that made him made caffeine really negatively impact his sleep. So he was performing worse from the caffeine. It was crushing his sleep. He couldn't sleep all night. He would get up just in time for shoot around, go back to sleep, go back to the games, this vicious cycle. And it was just fixing his lifestyle according to his genetics. And then he flourished. His mood got better. He had a career year. He was in talks to win the MVP. But it was avoiding the Band-Aid, which would have been an SSRI, and finding that bridge for him, educating him about his genetics and his lifestyle that got him to that place of optimal health.
That's a great story.
That's a great story.
Red Bull gives 80% people wings.
Yeah, it should be their slogan.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I think personally, or professionally, I also believe this, that coaching and lifestyle medicine is the future. You know, I think it's, hey, topo.
Sorry.
give our sponsor wish list a shout. anyways, so lifestyle medicine, meaning like really coaching, I think is the future of medicine. And whether insurance and, you know, anyone else gets on board or not, I still think it is the future because there is more, you know, like that whole empowerment and self-knowledge is trending. It's super hot and it's going to continue to be that way. I fully believe that. Can you touch on Wild Health's approach to coaching and accountability and all that?
Sure. So I mentioned all the testing that you got and kind of the AI platform that we run all the millions of data points through. Well, then we have to put it into action. Like the plan is worthless if someone's not going to do it or they don't understand how to do it. So there's a physician who can practice medicine. And if we do have to stop prescriptions or do a prescription for a short time until we fix something or provide medical advice, they're there. But the health coach, honestly, I say this all the time. I try not to say it around our physicians. The health coach is way more important than the doctor is. Being able to have the accountability and also the translation of the medical speak and the SNPs and walking along with someone, that's critical. I think that makes a much bigger difference than the medical side, for sure. So everybody has a physician and a health coach in our program, and the health coaches are just absolutely critical to any success.
Do you have a hunch that coaching and lifestyle medicine is also the future?
For sure. I mean, that's what we are practicing. I mean, I tend to like not all that often put labels on it of like lifestyle medicine versus holistic medicine versus functional medicine. We just try to do what works and stop the science, knowing that the relationship is critically important with the health coach, but also applying everything that comes when it comes to technology. So I do think like that's probably the best label, like says lifestyle medicine, because it makes sense. Focusing on your lifestyle, that's just such a bigger impact on your health than anything else. It determines, I mean, your genetics are about 20%, but the other 80% is your lifestyle and what you do. So it's definitely the future. It's difficult because the system isn't in structure and incentives isn't set up for us to practice that way. It's hard to do that in the normal system. But if you find a clinician who's committed to it, and an individual that's committed to it, you get much better outcomes than you do in traditional medicine.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask also about painting the picture of wild health, precision medicine, and functional medicine. I think parts of functional medicine have gotten lost and kind of greenwashed, meaning taking a whole bunch of supplements and too much information, you know, always kind of following a path. Anyways, these are just my personal opinions. How do you explain the difference or see the difference between wild health, precision medicine, and functional medicine?
So functional medicine, I think the advocates of functional medicine say it's root cause medicine, which is critically important. And we do that. We practice root cause medicine. The difference in what we do is, I think, a much bigger reliance on the personalization component. Less protocols, more about the individual. You mentioned supplements. Yeah, functional medicine tends to use a lot of supplements. We want to know what supplements will work for you. Like the example of caffeine I gave you, it's going to help some people and hurt some people. Same thing for most supplements. I think people in medicine, we want to be quote-unquote evidence-based. And so we'll look at a study and we'll say, a study says this works. And they say, the study says this supplement is good for people. Well, what that's really saying is this supplement is good for 60% of people in the study, or 70% or 80%, but not everyone. We want to know, does it work for you? So we're stopping a lot of medications on our patients. We're a lot of times really, most people that come to us who are very motivated, we're weaning their supplements down instead of adding supplements. One thing to call out about functional medicine, well, I think the general idea and approach is good, because the system is so hard. One of the things you find in functional medicine in general is that a lot of physicians have a hard time making ends meet, and they sell supplements, and that's a big part of their business model, which is difficult because just the incentives aren't aligned. And so I see that a lot in traditional functional medicine, is kind of an over-reliance on those, probably because of the incentive structure and them trying to make ends meet. So I applaud the thought of kind of root cause medicine, and we do that. But yeah, there are some issues with kind of general functional medicine right now.
Yeah, I feel that. We've aligned with functional medicine as a practice for a while because, you know, I thought, you know, it would help bridge people into their own empowerment. But I'm finding that they do need more support. They do need coaching. And also it is, it can be like such a shock for them to go from, you know, oh, I got to do this, like, what's it called? The elimination diet, and then start adding stuff back in. And then I got to scrape my poo-poo and put it in a cup and right. Put it in the mail. Right. And it's, not, you know, I'm still a fan of some stool testing, but it's to say, like, man, it really like shakes people to their core and, you know, doesn't create that bridge perhaps. And the protocols and all that, it can be overwhelming. But I think if you know, seeing like the report and seeing the DNA and just having much more of a data-driven and actual personalized data-driven story in front of you might be much more, you know, compatible and exciting to stick with, especially if they're getting results like grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. And exciting to be able to then look back and say, oh, that's why that was happening. Or, oh, I experimented with carnivore and like felt terrible, or the opposite. And so, oh, I went vegan because everybody said it was great. And I felt, so this is why. And I think that's just a beautiful thing to give back to people is that self-reflection and understanding. And I love what you said. It's true. It's like what you're doing is combining all of those things that can be overwhelming. And sounds like a really comprehensive report. You walk people hand in hand. And I think it's worth noting that the supplements that I saw you do use are really high quality. Like it sounds like you're using like the very best thorn, if that's correct. And that also makes a huge difference, because people just think, oh, they might get a report and say, oh, well, I need some more this. And they go and they get it some on Amazon because it's cheap, and then it's got a bunch of other stuff or synthetic compounds that, you know, if based on your genetic testing, you can understand like, oh, this I can't methylate, or there's other like really problems with supplements that I've been taking. So that's a beautiful way to give people back the power and make it more simple, because more simple, the better, and then more help. And I would love to know certainly any comments you have on that, but also what are a few common denominators of the people who get the best results. Do you have any insights to share on that?
For sure. So I think the operative word you said, which is critically important too, is simple. So the difficult thing is that humans aren't simple. Like the body's complex. It's a really complicated system. But we have to be able to simplify it for someone to actually follow. So while we may take in, And I see this with functional medicine a lot of time. You get these brilliant doctors who are really great systems thinkers, and they will kind of give all of that complex information to a patient and want them to do 1,000 things, which seems simple to them. It's not to the patient. So we really try to simplify all the way down to the foods to eat and to not eat, and have really specific goals and try to keep it simple. That's critically important. Your question, though, at the end, can you repeat it?
Sure. What are a few of the common denominators of people who get the best results?
So for me, it's very straightforward. It's motivation. Like that's it. The results that when we see patients and I think they have great results, it's 100% them. It's not us. And I tell the patients that like we can make these plans all day, but if you're not motivated to do it and you're not leaning into doing it, you're not going to get the results. So it really is about motivation. They have to bring the motivation, then we bring the education and the scientific knowledge and the data around their genes. We'll provide the education, but we can't do it for someone. So if someone is motivated, they get good results. Like that's just what we see all the time. Now, I don't think that's true in traditional medicine, and I think it's a problem. Like one of us alluded to it earlier of this concept. When we have patients, we prescribe them in traditional medicine something, and they come back and we say that patient failed treatment. Our treatments failed them a lot of times because we gave them the wrong thing, or we assume they're non-compliant with what we did and we just told them the wrong thing. There's real arrogance in medicine about that. So I don't want to blame the patient. That's not an okay thing to do. But my observation has been when you really educate people and arm them with this knowledge, it's about the motivation. When they've got the motivation, we see pretty amazing results.
Amazing. Oh, man. Oh, that's just nice to hear, you know? Yeah. I'm excited about, like, just results and stories and examples. So it's just awesome. So as we wrap up, I want to ask you as a CEO and leader of health, you know, wellness-driven company, what's your favorite way to, you know, build that community within your company and your culture?
Sure. Yeah. So, and I think you're talking about with our employees, not necessarily patients. Is that, mm-hmm. is
yeah.
that right?
Just, mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that's so critical to do. We do offsites regularly where we do crazy stuff like speed pickleball tournaments, for example, things like that. We have a lot of challenges. We'll divide up into groups and for a month see which group of four can do the most push-ups or the most mindfulness minutes tracking with their meditation, things like that. My favorite book on leadership is a book called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. And one of the points they make in that is like, life should be fun. If it's not fun, you're probably not doing it right. And so we kind of really, really lean into that. Even the difficult things can be fun when you're doing them with people you love and that you enjoy being with. So it's really important who is on the team. We think it's more important like who you work with and what you work on. Even it's critically important and just making sure we're having fun at all times and not taking ourselves too seriously.
Oh, man.
We love music to our ears. You know, joy is medicine. Too, you know,
for
like
sure.
Exactly what in alignment with everything that you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was going to be like a little like side note, selfish question, but yeah. Oh, man. So is there anything that we missed, Angela?
I feel complete in the transmission. I would like to acknowledge you for the powerful technology and the intelligence that it took to bring all of this together. We are just beyond thrilled. Our hearts are overflowing with gratitude that this exists, that you're helping so many people, and that you're aligned with exactly our philosophy of self-empowerment. Thank you for being a leader in this field. It's really important work and really grateful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very meaningful. I thought the last question you're going to ask when you're asking about kind of a CEO and from a business standpoint is how to get this out to more people. So I may just touch on one other thing that I think I'm very excited about when it comes to that. Because one of the things we haven't addressed is the cost. I grew up very poor and where I come from, what we're doing using this much technology and provider time, it's hard for everyone to achieve that. But as you're focusing on technology, one of the things I'm most excited about is we're coming out right now, when you talk about empowerment and technology, we're coming out with an AI app that is a standalone thing where for those that can't afford the physician and health coach and all of those things, we've been able to take all of our IP and build on a large language model like ChatGPT that has all of someone's data. So I play with it frequently now. We haven't released it, but I ask it questions. What should I have for dinner tonight? Like, haven't been sleeping well, any recommendations? And it knows my DNA, my blood work, my entire medical history, and it gives me precision kind of lifestyle and wellness updates. So this is something in a few months that we're coming out with that initially it'll be patients that we have. We'll allow them to kind of roll off and, hey, you feel like you've got it on your own. Great. Here's just this app to continue using to get all of the data. But that's one of the things I'm most excited about is getting this to everyone, not just the people that can afford it.
Incredible.
Thank you for adding that piece. Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah. Wow. Just thank you for all this. And, you know, I'm just really excited to engage with Wild Health further and learn more and get our clients involved and, you know, potentially have you back for more of this exciting, you know, get more people involved and passionate and, you know, self-empowered.
Yeah. Keep them on the pickleball court as long as possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If I come back, we'll have a pickleball and precision medicine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Angela has one more question for you before we sign off, though.
I do indeed. What we want to know is, what is one of your favorite snacks?
Yeah. So I mentioned Mike and I have completely opposite. So he's probably eaten, he's almost vegan. He's probably had a lot of carrot sticks and hummus and things like that today. I've had two cans of sardines, which I love. I have a crazy recipe with the pickle juice and guacamole that I just crave. But snack-wise, I've had my two cans of sardines. I also had four venison sticks. There's a company I really like that harvests wild venison, and I had four of those about an hour ago. So I've got those stuffed in my backpack, in my pocket, in my car. I've got cans of sardines and venison sticks in my trunk, just by the dozens.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I would love to be like, you know, like the Instagram feed of Dr. Matt Dawson. What's in my pockets today? Pulling out sardines and venison sticks. That would be great. That would be great fun. Yeah.
Sprinkle some pickle juice over here. Yes.
Exactly. It's better. Yeah, the better you all can't smell me. We're on video. And it's
good. Oh, that was great. Where, you know, people, it's, you know, Wild Health, that's a really memorable name. Where else do people find and engage with the platform?
Yeah, so wildhealth.com, I think I'm an old man and not very good at social media, but I think on Instagram and Facebook and all those, it's just Wild Health or maybe Wild Health MD, but wildhealth.com is where everything is. We have a training program. We've trained hundreds of doctors and other providers in precision medicine as well, but becoming a patient, doing the training program, all of that is at wildhealth.com.
Wow. Oh, man. Just, my heart and cup are full, so... I mean, yeah, can't wait to get really precision stuff in my cup. All right. Thank you so much again for being here. And thank you, Angela. And thank you, Cole. We got a producer back there. Cole. So he's doing really good work. Changing the young minds back there. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of the Think Fit, Be Fit podcast network. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. If you're interested in further resources, check out or visit our website, thinkfitbefitpodcast.com.